every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here, right here on WWPR 1490 AM. It's the second half of the Monday Financial Power Block, starting with Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. All things trading, crypto, forex, stocks, gold, and more. And then you followed up right here with the weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And what happened this week? Well, BAKT, B-A-K-K-T, mentioned it many times before, has been cleared to launch its highly anticipated physically settled Bitcoin futures contract. We'll explain what that long-winded announcement means. Coinbase Custody has acquired Xapo, X-A-P-O, I'm spelling everything today, to become the world's largest crypto custodian by assets under custody. In the meantime, Coinbase outlines a, quote, password storage issue. And top cryptocurrency
exchange. What was that now?
A password storage issue. I guess the passwords just are flowing out of the silo. The barn door has flown open in the storm, and the passwords are rolling out into the pasture. Anyway, the top cryptocurrency exchange, Binance, announces it's launching Venus. No, they're not launching to Venus. They're launching Venus, a potential competitor to Facebook's Libra. And let's see who's here this week to help us with. Well, you should know the Talking Markets theme. And that, of course, means that
I'm back in the house.
Andrew, a.k.a. Andy, here is with us. And he's going to sort through something. Or another with us. I didn't mean
that. Oh, hopefully we can get some tax help here, you know.
Through that pile of passwords from Coinbase that got left on the floor there. And returning with us this week, we have...
That's great.
Now semi-regular. I think there's something you can take for that. But anyway, semi-regular helper, guest, whatever, expert, Josh Sands is with us, crypto tax specialist. We're going to give you all his social media, but cryptotaxman.us is where you can start. And we'll fill you in on Instagram, Twitter, and all that in just a moment. And he is helping all of us. You that are listening, we that are listening in the studio, get ready for cryptocurrency tax season that seems to be like
forever.
It's going to be like the Hurricane Katrina of tax seasons.
When's corporate taxes due? I think September something, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Ask Josh. Yeah. He's the expert.
September. Yeah.
So, Josh, you gave us a lot to think about last time you were here about a month ago with the IRS letters that came out. They had three different letters, three different levels of warning.
Yep.
What are you getting feedback on now? Not necessarily get an inside pipeline to the IRS, but are your clients starting to wonder, or have any of them gotten letters?
Yeah, there's been a few that have gotten letters. I guess it's just a quick review. We're speaking of the 6174, the 6174A, and the 6173, which both of the 6174 is kind of a blanket letter for any of those investors.
Okay, just to be clear, all those are just the designated letter number for the three different letters.
Yeah,
okay.
And the 6174, that was basically anybody information that was passed over from Coinbase to the IRS due to the subpoenas. That's what I mean by blanket letter. Everyone that was in that bucket of people should have received one. And if there was more, I guess, specifics that the IRS was looking for, and they actually saw that you hadn't filed a return or claimed your crypto, then 6173, you directly have to respond to those letters. So yes, I am getting clients that are receiving those. I think it just creates a lot of confusion for some people. Even if they filed, they're still getting.
Not to give any personal information out, but is there a range of emotion? Do you have anybody that's, like, really stressed, or everybody just taking it in stride?
Some people are stressed, but I mean, I think after they kind of figure out what the letter's for, then they kind of calm down. But, yeah, I mean, just about everybody that filed, that I've worked with that have filed still got a 6174. And then there has been some where there's been some clarifications needed where they have to actually submit a written response for that 6173.
So if you don't want to be a person that corresponds with the IRS like that, even though you may get the informative letters, like Josh said, but you don't want to have any post-filing correspondence with the IRS. What is the service you provide to people?
I help individuals and businesses accurately calculate the capital gains and pay the appropriate amount of tax, or actually gain or loss, and pay the appropriate amount of tax based on those gains or losses.
And I don't want to go into his fee schedule right now, but when you look at his fee schedule, the levels are hundreds of transactions. You know, the first level is hundreds of transactions, plural, and then the next level is hundreds more transactions. And do you really have people that are doing 400 or 800 transactions a year?
Oh, yeah. I would say that's pretty low.
I do that.
Andy's coming out. He's going to come clean now. So,
oh my God, yeah.
You have 400 transactions?
Oh gosh, I've got more than 400 so far this year between stocks and crypto.
No, in crypto.
Not in cryptos. No,
yeah,
because it's not profitable to day trade Bitcoin because of the fee you pay. It's a 1.5% round trip. So if you're trying to day trade that or scalp it just doesn't make sense.
That costs you that much?
It's pretty steep.
It's like a quarter of a percent each way.
No, because you got to be a market. You got to be a taker when you're doing those types of trades.
Yeah, but if you're looking at the spread, there's times it closes up and it's just a pennies.
No, I'm talking about the fees you pay.
Right, and the fee is 0.25 on Coinbase Pro, and on Kraken you can get it slightly lower.
I don't think it was. I thought it was higher than 0.25.
No,
I think
you
it's 0.75.
It's cheaper. Don't keep.
Okay. Well, anyways, even at that, it's a tough trade because you just there's no juice left. And if you're looking for a 50 or 100 point move, I mean, geez, that's 1%. So you're risking. Even if it is that, you're risking, half a percent in fees to make 1%. You're still only making a half percent, and every loss, you add a half a percent on there.
I haven't done 400 trades this year yet, but last week I was like, I'm not even going to stay in the first with the way I was trading last week, I was like, I'm not even going to stay in Josh's first tier. But I think I may. I think I may. Josh, what do you have to say?
Most of the people that need help, they've traded on, 10 exchanges, and they've had, a few thousand to, the most I had this year was, 60,000 trades.
60,000?
Well, and I think he learned his lesson because he was using a rebalancer tool, and that just kicks off a ton of trades.
Is that like an algorithmic trader?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're setting your deviation to, a small amount, I mean, you're rebalancing, pretty often.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's explore this some more. I had no plans for this, but let's explore it. Because I know algorithmic trading gets advertised, and I hear about it on CNBC with stocks. So if somebody – are these people that are just concentrating on Bitcoin, or are they doing altcoins too, or both, or what?
Yeah, they're trading both.
And then you said set the deviation. So give us a scenario of how you have someone approaches, not that you set it up for them, but how someone approaches their setup.
So let's say you want to hold, 5% of XRP in your portfolio, and then you set the deviation to, if it deviates, 5-10%, every time it does that, it rebalances for you.
Ugh, that's a mess.
Yeah, but is that...
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's stick with that. I gotta parse this and pick it apart in my mind. So the person says I want to have 5% XRP. They want a 5% Ripple. Well, if it's going down, why do they want to buy more? I can understand why they want to take the profit if it goes up, but why would they want to add and go? Why do they go both ways?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they knew what they were getting into.
Yeah.
they're trying to treat it as a traditional portfolio.
Yeah, you got 60% stocks, 40% bonds, and it readjusts every quarter or something, and they did it on a percentage basis. That's nuts. Yeah.
So is there someone that's doing, that you've seen that does, like, algorithmic trading on Bitcoin, and they just want to, like, constantly clip, you know, $20, $50, $100, and try and do it, you know, 20 times a day?
Not just on Bitcoin. I mean, the highest amount of trades I saw was for 2017, and there was one guy that we worked on. He was like 320,000 trades, and he was bot trading. He created his own bot, and he regretted that too as well.
So Andy's going to look me in the eye when I'm telling this. I'm confessing something on the air from last week, and it only has to do with trading. But so don't do what I do. Let me say that two more times. Don't do what I do. Don't do this like I do. But I had said that, we already talked about on the previous hour. You can go back and listen to the Talking Markets podcast. So so Bitcoin was at 11,400 last Monday. And I added a tiny piece, just less than one-tenth of my total portfolio. Everything else had a cost basis between 9.5 and 10.1. So then it didn't go up the way I had expressed on the previous show, how sure I was that I didn't need to wait for the signal that Mark and Andy were giving on Talking Markets that I knew, because I just know. It wasn't divine. It was probably from somewhere else. So I knew. But then it starts to come down. And I'm like, well, it's only like, I don't know, 1/15 of my portfolio. I'm not really worried about it. I still got all this cushion in my cost basis. And then it's coming down to, you know, 10.6. And then I just got out between right around 10.6. But because Kraken lets you go, you can hold a long position, which I have part of my portfolio on Kraken, and you can short on the margin side. So I didn't want to get out of all my long. I kept some of that. And let's just, for numbers, say a half Bitcoin.
So you were in this long.
Let's just say a half Bitcoin long, because they only let you go to about a half Bitcoin on your margin unless you're qualified trader for doing more than that. So, I was just long because I was following the Mark and Andrew advice to know your dollar amount, and then we've got activity in the studio here. Know your dollar amount. So that was half of my way back a year ago, my original allocation. So I say that half Bitcoin is there. Now I'm shorting the other half Bitcoin on the margin, and it's falling because it's like it broke through there. And I said, man, if it goes through 10.3, it's going all the way back down to 9 again. And so, but I didn't want to lose my profit, so I'm closing out every trade on the short side as soon as I make $200. I do that.
Boy.
I don't know how many times, 4 or 5 times. And then I had to go to bed and then fall asleep. But because they were matched, I knew I couldn't have less equity when I woke up than when I went to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I did miss that run all the way down to 9.7 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So like I said, and Josh would tell you this too, just listening to that, don't do it like Henry does.
Yeah. Now, Josh, I got a question for you. If you're a what is the IRS deem a market maker where you do enough trades in a year that you can just go ahead and do profit loss?
Are you for a professional trader?
Yes.
Like a day trader?
Yeah.
It's like 720, I believe.
Oh, you're wrong.
But it has to be consistent throughout the year, so there can't be any gaps in trading.
Okay.
And then, so you're saying not to claim capital gains, but ordinary income.
Yes.
Yeah. So you would have to. There's a couple different requirements to meet. It's kind of some of the areas are kind of gray, I guess you'd say.
I think we're getting into a special use case here. Let me quickly just do this. Ah. That's what happens when you come in late. You get your old intro music. Augie's in the studio. Augie, did you run into problems out on the roadways? Or was it raining?
A massive rainstorm in Sarasota. I could barely get out of Sarasota. It was amazing. Yeah.
It was sunny. Nuts. It wasn't sunny when it came.
I know,
it was dry.
I got north of the airport and everything was gone.
We're shined upon here. All right, so we got Josh Sands, crypto tax specialist, on the line. Augie's on the line now. Andy's in the studio. Josh Sands, you can get a hold of him through CryptoTaxMan.us, and he's also on Facebook, Facebook.com/CryptoTaxMan, Instagram, and Twitter. You have to get a little creative, and it's Crypto_Tax_Man for Instagram and Twitter. And we have one other thing. I'm going to go ahead and move us along, Josh, unless you said something important point that you think you want to add here.
What I want to add?
Yeah.
There's one area that I was discussing with some clients. I was out of town last week, but before I left, was in regards to just different tax strategies and opportunity zones. Qualified opportunity zones is something for most investors to consider, especially if we start seeing the market take off again, because it allows you to defer your gains as long as they're reinvested within 180 days into a qualified opportunity zone.
What's an opportunity zone?
So there's a list provided by the IRS, which you're basically investing in an area that could use improvement. It could even be a business that you start yourself. It could be a building.
So basically like an economically distressed designated area?
Yeah, for the most part.
Where they
like
want
Puerto Rico is like majority opportunity zone.
Okay. Let me get to one other topic, because we're going to miss out on all the news we really need to get to here. Fidelity's charity arm, Fidelity Charitable, said last month that it received more than $100 million in cryptocurrency donations since 2015. In total, more than $106 million has been granted to Fidelity since it began accepting this form of donation. It was as much as $69 million in 2017 when Bitcoin hit $20,000. Last year, it had slowed to $30 million, but now this is another year that people may be thinking about that, because if they got in earlier in the year at Bitcoin, they're up 200%. Do you have clients that are using cryptocurrency capital gains to offset some of their taxes by charitable donation?
I think most of them come to me with a misunderstanding of how this can be done, because it does have to be, a qualified charitable organization. So some people think they can just, gift money to, a friend or something, and they qualify for it, but that's not the case. It has to be, a specific type of charitable donation that's, qualified by the IRS.
But it needs to be a long-term capital gain for it to be useful, right?
Useful? I wouldn't say necessarily. Anything with a gain, it would be worth it, because you're transferring that cost basis over.
Okay, so we'll be following that up in we'll follow that up in the weeks and months to come when Josh returns here. We got to get to the news.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
BACT, B-A-K-K-T, as I repeat myself, has been cleared to launch. The Intercontinental Exchange Young subsidiary announced Friday that it acquired a New York State trust charter through the New York State Department of Financial Services. This approval cleared the way for the company to begin offering its highly anticipated physically settled Bitcoin futures contract. The company intends to launch on September 23rd. It was first unveiled last August, not like yesterday, like last year, August. It intends to offer two types of contracts, a daily and a monthly contract. Both will be settled at BACT Warehouse, probably right next to the Coinbase silo where they keep the passwords. I wonder if they bought enough space to store all those Bitcoins. A part of the New York Chartered Trust Company. In a blog post last Friday, BACT CEO Kelly Loeffler a.k.a. Mrs. Intercontinental Exchange. Our contracts have already received the green light from the CFTC through the self-certification process, and our acceptance testing has begun with approval by the New York State Department of Financial Services. They're going to do everything I just said. I could read her words, but she just said what I did. And then she added, uniquely backed Bitcoin futures will not reply. Andrew, Andy, whoever you are right now, mm-hmm. whichever name you're answering to, this is one I really wanted to get your feedback on. Will not rely upon unregulated spot markets for settlement prices, thus serving as a transparent price discovery mechanism for the benchmark price for Bitcoin. The importance of this difference is only amplified by reports of significant manipulative and spot market activity. She must have been listening to the show. And other concerns such as inconsistent anti-money laundering policies, et cetera.
So they're going to actually do the market.
The daily contract will be margined, but she didn't say by what factor. Yeah. And evidently the monthlies are not. I mean, that's what it implies. And they're going to offer them all the way out past the halvening of Bitcoin.
Wow.
So you'll be able to go into 2020 with the monthly contracts, and then it goes on about the secure regulated custody and all the things that they've done there. But let's get back up here to where we're talking about that they're not relying on other exchanges to set the price for this.
That's a pretty big move there. So what they're saying is they're actually going to be the market for Bitcoin. And they're actually going to... that's the question. Is it going to be big enough? You know what? They can say that, but there's still arbitrage trades. So if you're going to... Especially because it's physically settled, you're going to have arbitrage trades, so it'll all melt out. So it really doesn't mean anything. But they're saying that it's going to be price settled on what the futures market they have holds.
What I think this prevents from happening is what we've talked about on the show before, is where, because Bitstamp, Kraken, I think, and...
Everything's so arbitrage.
Where somebody dumped a bunch on Bitstamp...
Yeah, but it's not going to matter.
For BitMEX. But they dumped a bunch on Bitstamp, tens of millions, and it caused the price to drop on Bitstamp, which pulled the index that they use on BitMEX down and allowed... on the other side to use the leverage of BitMEX to make a killing on what they did over in Bitstamp.
Yeah, but you still have that arbitrage trade. So when somebody dumped into Bitstamp like that, people were trading on Coinbase and the other, and then arbitragely either hedging against that and then selling, or they were probably buying on Bitstamp and selling on Coinbase at the same time.
But the futures price is determined by those three prices.
BitMEX is, but it wouldn't matter.
I'm talking about BACT now. Mm-hmm. So if you're dumping on Bitstamp, BACT will keep their price based on their own transaction?
Not necessarily, because if let's say that happens, and Coinbase drops down 1,500 points, it's very easy to go, oh, wow, look, I can buy Bitcoin over here, and I can buy Bitcoin on Coinbase, and I can sell contract futures against it. So you're still going to have that arbitrage.
Yeah, but you're not going to do the 100-to-1 margin on the
that's a separate thing though, but it's still going to be instead of them relying on the prices of other exchanges, they are just going to be an exchange themselves, and the price that's on their exchange is going to be exchanged, but there's still going to be arbitrage trades between the exchanges so that it's
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not like BitMEX. BitMEX relies on other ones.
I don't think it will be like BitMEX. I think BitMEX
is probably going to be, and this is what's going to start replacing it, because other than,
because you got TD Ameritrade is coming out.
TD Ameritrade is going to come out. I mean, they're just going to, and then the ETFs are going to come out, and the game's going to change.
And but we don't have a story about the ETFs, but just to wrap this up, and we'll still get Josh and I in on this. But the three outstanding ETFs, the Wilshire, the I believe ArisX, and the VanEck, their dates for final approval are September 29th, and I think October 13th and 18th, something like that. Yeah. The VanEck, which is the one that was the most likely to be approved, is the October 18th one. So we'll know on that. I think this being approved on the two different levels is good foreshadowing for this. Josh, any thoughts?
This is just the next step that we were looking for.
Yeah.
And if it gets approved on the 18th, that's my birthday, and that'd be kind of a nice...
happy birthday. Nice Bitcoin 40,000.
Practically a done deal.
Bitcoin 40,000, yeah.
Augie?
Yeah, man.
I have a question for Josh. I heard you say something about a delay of 180 days between one sale and another for the benefit of capital gain. Did I misunderstand that, Josh?
As long as you buy back into an opportunity zone or fund, opportunity fund,
so
within 180 days of disposition of the...
That sounds awfully similar to a 1031 real estate exchange.
Yes, yeah.
So it is.
Well, no, it isn't.
No, it's not.
Well, it's not a 1031.
It's not called that, but isn't that the
same
thing?
It doesn't have to be real estate. It can be a business inside the zone.
No.
So yeah, if you want to invest into Detroit or something, you know, some of the places that you drive, you say, oh, I'm going to sell some Bitcoin. I'm going to invest into Detroit to try to bring it up.
I'm not. My point is, yes, I understand your point. My point is simply it sounds similar as a model.
Well, we'll have to research it and get it back with Josh when he comes back in a few weeks.
That question, Josh. It sounded like you said
you're
yes.
You're listening to the Henry Rain Show. We've got to go to a break. We'll be back right after this.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
It's all the way out. It's all the way out. It's all the way out.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM in the studio. Augie, Andy will be stepping back in a second, and we have the crypto tax man, Josh, and standing by on the phone. And we'll go into some other news now. Covering a lot of ground here today, trying to keep the pace moving here. But what are we getting on? We're getting audio from somewhere else. Augie, are you playing video on your phone? If you are going to play video on your phone, take your headset off so you can hear it.
I thought I was looking to your rundown. And sorry about that.
I'm back.
All right.
So it gets entertaining on your show that way. So.
Yeah. Well, at least for somebody.
I thought I was here.
Okay. Yes, that looks familiar. All right. So we just got done talking about BACT and their futures, the long-awaited futures with physically settled Bitcoin. And, you know, it seemed like just a month ago we were talking endlessly about Facebook and Libra and their new coin. Well, that's sort of gotten in a lot of hot water with regulators around the world, not just here in Congress. And it seems to be slowing down. Well, I guess someone that wasn't worried about regulators slowing them down would be the cryptocurrency exchange. Binance is launching an open blockchain project called Venus. Now, I don't know what the whole astronomy is.
We got Mars coin. What do we need Venus and...
Venus and Mars coin tonight. But, you know, Binance is going with Venus. We have the astrological sign Libra for Facebook. And let us not forget Gemini Exchange and them. So I think it won't be long until we're all going to be labeled as satanic influences on the financial system and banned that way. All right. Anyway, Venus is coming. And the announcement published just today, the exchange argued is well-positioned to launch the currency ecosystem in light of its existing public chain technology. Binance Chain has a wide user base and established global compliance measures. And the exchange says it's seeking partnerships with government, corporations, technology firms, and other cryptocurrency and blockchain projects in order to develop a new currency ecosystem that will empower both developed and developing countries. Well, what could be wrong with that?
Nothing could go wrong there.
Yeah, it's just Kumbaya, and let's all get on the board. The exchange's vision for the project, per the announcement, is to build a new open alliance and sustainable community. Even better, that enlists partners, I love this phrase, though, who wield influence on a global scale. Because they're all about sustainability and community.
Justin's son.
Binance's ambitious new venture appears to compete directly with plans from social media titan Facebook, which we already said. And they also bring up the astronomical, astrological references there. So we've got Binance seeing what's happened with Facebook. And I remember I think the Gemini twins, one of them, said they thought every major tech company was going to have its own coin. I wouldn't call Binance a major tech company, but a major player in Hong Kong, which we can delve into in just a moment. Andy, thoughts?
Yeah. I think it's all it's doing is making them rich.
I think
it's just hype. I don't see anything. My whole philosophy on this is eventually U.S. pegged coins like J.P. Morgan coin and Goldman Sachs coin are going to replace all these other coins because there's nothing that they can't. You know, all this is open source code, so I mean, I can copy IOTA's code and then peg it to my J.P. Morgan coin. I got the same product, so I just don't see where these things are going with all these other coins. They're really Mickey Mouse money at Disneyland.
First,
I mean,
you have to start thinking like a billionaire.
Donald Duck bucks or something.
First, you have to start thinking like a billionaire, and you see this other billionaire, Zuckerberg, with his Zuckerbucks, thinking that he is going to have the global currency that transcends national boundaries and sovereign banks, and every billionaire then
Zuckerberg
wants their own global currency.
I'll separate Facebook out from the rest of them because I think Facebook actually has they have the environment or the ecosystem that it would actually work, but it's got to be pegged to something.
So it's Binance.
It's called regulation.
No, not.
I'll tell you why in a second. Go ahead, Augie.
That's regulation. I think I heard Mark in the previous show say something about these other coins being a French word.
No, this is something different.
This is a little different. Yeah. If it's pegged, you know, Facebook is going to peg theirs to whatever. God only knows what it was going to be. Who wants it to be pegged to the bund, paying a negative, you know, 0.5% yield? I mean, that's just so it's probably going to be pegged to U.S. dollars, which is pretty much J.P. Morgan coin. That's, I think, the reason why they said, oh, we're going to do a bunch of these things so we can peg. No, I mean, you pretty much got J.P. Morgan coin. Facebook's using it. Their ecosystem makes it a lot easier because people are always on Facebook using it.
All right, let's get Josh in if any thoughts he has on this, and I'll sum up why. I think, and you can reply if you want.
I agree. I mean, Facebook has the followers and users, I think, to make it happen.
Facebook will not be used in China. Facebook coin will not be, Libra will not be used in China. And this is the
You know what it will be used? It will be used in China because what will happen is one will become so dominant, and if Facebook becomes a dominant coin, it eventually it will have to be used. What do they have, WeChat coins?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got WeChat, but nobody's using them outside of China.
They don't have coins. They have Alipay, and they have WeChat, and they already have the digital payments. They're already way beyond us in the use of digital peer-to-peer payments. And so now CZ at Binance has visions of financial hegemony in the digital space, and like just like Mark Zuckerberg has, I would guarantee that it has crossed his mind, and he has a state-controlled economic system that if they designate him,
what happens when they
enforce it for him?
What happens when they when everybody leaves Binance? I mean, eventually these altcoins, most of them are going to go to zero. And that's just a fact. I mean, you see it already happen. The fruitioning is happening. And what's going to make Binance or Kraken or any of these other exchanges that really have lived on the tokenization
thing.
Of these crap coins, what's going to make them any different? I'd rather trade on Ameritrade.
Binance.
I can tell you right now, as soon as Ameritrade comes out and I can get custodial with Ameritrade, I'm transferring myself to Ameritrade.
But this is a whole different thing. This is trying to set up the digital currency that Zuckerberg's trying to be the first to market
it's a
with
grasp. He's,
in
he's
the other
incoming.
Half of the global economy. Because as the trade war goes on and the economies become more and more separate and isolated from each other.
What it's going to be pegged to?
Well, he'll work that
is
out.
Is he going
to
peg it
to
Bitcoin?
China.
Well, is he going to peg it to the yuan? Nobody wants the yuan. I mean, what are you going to do? Peg it to Bitcoin? Well, then you got Bitcoin. I mean, it makes no sense. That's what I'm saying.
You're thinking about right now.
No.
You're not seeing the billionaire
Facebook,
future vision.
Someone
like
Facebook, someone like Facebook has a unique user base where people are on it constantly. And I'm sitting there on my phone, I'm on Facebook, and I'm getting all this stuff all the time.
WeChat and Alipay is a bigger user base. And if he can leverage that,
so maybe Alipay gets to, you know,
right,
but it's got to be base. It's got to be pegged to
something. I got something about the People's Bank of China at the end, but we'll get to what we said we would talk about first. Anything? Anybody else?
The yuan's going to $8, and that's really going to be destructive.
Okay.
So,
all right, Coinbase Custody has reportedly acquired Xapo, X-A-P-O, the institutional business that has become the world's largest crypto custodian by assets under custody. Of course, that now will be transferred to Coinbase, so Coinbase is going to be the biggest custodian of crypto assets. Mm-hmm. And
for now.
And Xapo, X-A-P-O, is based in Switzerland, which you would think that would be a Chinese company, because they always have an X in the name. But anyway, it's based in Switzerland. It gives them openings to the European market as well as other clients that Coinbase will acquire. This follows the rapid growth on the part of Coinbase's year-old custodial wing, which only 2 months ago reported assets under custody valued at $1.3 billion. And I think, wasn't the Grayscale Investment Trust with Xapo? So that gets moved over?
Yeah,
I can't and that's
remember.
Like $2 billion right there. According to the announcement, Coinbase custody will be in excess of $7 billion once this is completed. It's also acquiring a major crypto wallet provider in Xapo. The announcement claims that Coinbase Custody now stores on behalf of more than 120 clients in 14 different countries. And Coinbase Telegraph reported that Coinbase Custody had added experts in New York banking regulations.
Well, there we go.
Boards of directors.
It's got to be successful now.
To be able to get the qualification as a custodian that backed the subsidiary of Intercontinental Exchange just did. So let's go back to Josh on this. And, again, keeping individual information confidential, how many of your clients keep their own custody of Bitcoin, and how many – what percentage do you just keep it on exchange?
Let me think about that one.
Okay.
I mean, I would have to say a good majority, like 70% or so, they'll keep it in their own wallet. They won't keep it in an exchange.
Okay. And I would take it these aren't guys that are just sitting around on or gals sitting around on $1,000 of Bitcoin. These are significant holdings.
Yeah, definitely the larger holdings are they're definitely more responsible. Not keeping them.
I'd be worried. Exchanges. Have you ever seen my desk?
Yes, I have.
It's you've been there. Yeah,
I've seen your storage area too.
I couldn't even imagine holding my own keys. I don't know. I can't find my car keys half the time.
Well, along with this announcement, the CEO of Coinbase, Brian Armstrong, said, "So we're going to break the math down on this in a second. So they have $1.7 billion under custody.
Okay.
They're getting Xapo, and now they're going to be between $7 and $8 billion." Speaking on Twitter August 16th, Brian Armstrong, the CEO, said that 2019 had formed the year of reckoning for institutional Bitcoin uptake, with the trend now obvious. Quote, whether institutions were going to adopt crypto or not was an open question about 12 months ago. I think it's safe to say we now know the answer. We're seeing $200 to $400 million a week in new crypto deposits come in from institutional customers.
$200,000 to $400,000 a week.
$200 to $400 million.
Million a week.
Yeah. So
that's $1 billion a month.
No, it's 800. Okay, 800 million to 1.6 billion.
All right. So let's say $1 billion to. How much do they have under?
Well, they had 1.7 before they acquired.
That doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense.
Yeah, Zappos is worth like 5.3, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I think he meant... It was like that auction on the Porsche that they tried to auction off there, and they 50 to 70 million. Oh, we meant 15 to 17 million.
But this quote is dated August 16th, so maybe last week they got between 200 and 400 million. But I'm just saying, we've already done the little math. You know, how much a month is that? And was he talking about the entire industry? And how would he know what the entire industry is taking in? But either one, let's say $1.5 billion a month, $18 billion a year, you're going to be, all the market cap will be in custody with someone by 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way it would work?
Yeah. I don't blame him. I think he misquoted himself.
I think he probably said exactly what he wanted to say.
Are we in fantasy time here?
Anyway. More Coinbase news, and then we will get to the People's Bank of China. Crypto exchange Coinbase also disclosed that, I guess after the 200 to 400 million you're taking in, things get a little scattered. Trust us with your $100 million of Bitcoin. We got our tabs on everything. It's right here under this pile of paper on Andy's desk. Crypto exchange Coinbase disclosed a potential vulnerability Friday, announcing that a tiny fraction of its current of its customers' passwords, I need to be precise on this because you're dealing with real money here, were stored in plain text on an internal server log. However, information was not improperly accessed by outside parties, the exchange said. Coinbase outlined a password storage issue.
Wait, so someone was copying and putting on Notepad on a server? I mean, was that what's going on?
No, not quite. But it's actually,
how does that even happen?
It's much less than it sounds, but it also exposes something much bigger than this. So Coinbase outlined a password storage issue impacting less than 3,500 customers out of 30 million. That briefly resulted in personal information, including the passwords, being stored in clear text on internal logging systems. Under a very specific and rare error condition, the registration form on our sign-up page wouldn't load correctly, which meant that any attempt to create a new Coinbase account under those conditions would fail, the post explained. Unfortunately, it also meant that the individual's name, email address, and proposed password and state of residence, if in the U.S., will be sent to our internal logs. In 3,420 instances, the potential customers used the same password on their second sign-up attempt, which would be successful but would result in their having a password that matches the hash version on the company's logs. Those customers were notified by Coinbase via email on Friday. So, and then finally, as a reminder, let me go with that. No, that's the bounty for when you find the mistakes. All right. So what happens, or what this means is, these were all new customers. And you get that login screen where you're creating your profile. So what happened is then, as that was sort of stored temporarily on in a place that was, you know, they type it in and it's in plain text. So that's like held, I'm going to say in a cache. I may be mistaken on that particular part of the term. But it's sort of like, say you have my Ether wallet. And you get the long password, and you put it into a Word document, and you just have that file sitting on your computer. So it doesn't necessarily – it's highly unlikely that on your computer or my computer, there's something crawling around the Internet that's looking at one of the pages of all of our documents that in the internal part of it that looks like a password or a hash tag. Could be.
Yeah.
But – now, on the other hand, if you're Coinbase, remember we talked a couple weeks ago about the 11 million attempts on just an anonymous computer to penetrate that some educational institution did just to test to see how prevalent external threats are. 11 million, just an anonymous computer hooked up on the Internet, got 11 million attempted logins. Now, if you know Coinbase is sitting on 7 billion, you might be a bigger target.
You think?
Than the anonymous computer, yes. So I do believe that this happened fast enough and that it was just somewhere that it didn't randomly all of a sudden get hit in that short space of time. But now, if you read this through, and I won't go into all the details, it tells just example, because the HTML was extremely basic, no action method attributes were set. You know, if you know what you're talking about, you're like, oh, maybe that's the way they target them. So I'm sure they've reviewed all their procedures and their code on this. But, you know, just in my extremely superficial knowledge of this stuff, it's like, wow, that means don't worry about hacking into the Faraday cage at the end of the day when they close out. How do we get a band in the middle between you creating your new account and us sucking that information in on your end? We don't even have to go into Coinbase's end.
No.
And of course, we only get individual data, but if you can successfully get yours when you come in and they're signing up 3,000 people at a chop, you can get a whole access to a whole lot of accounts real fast. And Josh, you got any thoughts on this?
That's pretty crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to the technology part, I mean, I don't quite understand everything, but the way that you just explained it, that's pretty concerning.
I may even know
TD Ameritrade, please get that Bitcoin on your site.
And I said, just because I'm ornery about what Andy was saying, sticking up for Facebook over Binance, not that I wanted you to stick up for Binance, but sticking up for Facebook, People's Bank of China, remember, was it 2 weeks ago when they said their digital currency could be said to be ready?
Yes.
That was the quote, could be said to be ready? The People's Bank of China has completed the development of a prototype for issuing the national cryptocurrency. As it turns out, it will be powered by a two-tier operating system, which will not be fully decentralized. So you think Binance and that CZ wouldn't be saying, I think I could do this for you. The fact that China is closing to issue state digital money from the past 3 years, so I'm going to have to try and get through this fast. Speaking at the event, Deputy Director of the People's Bank of China, Mu Changchun, didn't disclose the details of the development, but he did say that there would be a two-tier system. Hopefully this will replace cash and other cryptocurrencies and will help increase the turnover of the yuan or renminbi. See, you brought them up. They're working on it. They're working on it. The statement on the high level of readiness to issue the new cryptocurrency was made soon after the representatives announced their intention to speed up the process of creating the state's digital money. All I say, you know, and this can get around sanctions and stuff. They're rushing because their currency's falling. They need to.
Yeah, but what's it going to be based on? What's it going to be based on?
What's ours based on?
What's a digital currency going to be based on? It's just going to be new? They're going to replace the... Well, that's what I'm saying, but nobody wants the yuan.
If you get enough of them, Russia will sell their oil to them. If you get enough of it, yeah. Afghanistan will sell their...
The ruble's got... I mean, yeah, I know.
All right. The statement on the high level readiness to issue the new cryptocurrency was made soon after the representatives announced their intention to speed up the process. According to authorities, the new currency will be able to bypass trade sanctions imposed by the U.S. See, they're bragging about it. They're bragging about our sanctions that are going to be overcome. It will also increase investment flows to the country. As it turned out, the emission of future cryptocurrency will be carried out through a two-level system with the People's Bank of China at the top. The second level will be taken by commercial banks, as Mu emphasized. At the same time, blockchain will only be used partially until Binance gets up and running completely. He made three arguments in favor of the decision, and let's see, mainly it was to get to the third. The use of a single-tier operating architecture may reduce the role of banks in the financial service chains. They don't want that to happen. They want to keep their banks running. And let's see.
Yeah, that's...
there's a lot of negative thoughts here. We have 60 seconds. Anybody that wants to jump in on this, Augie, you go first. You've had to wait.
Well, I was interested in Josh's ideas on how much does the IRS play a factor in anything these days, Josh?
We don't have time for that.
I don't know. That's what my question was.
All right. Well, Josh, study that. Augie will re-ask that when you return.
You know, I like Facebook coin. I do not like the Yuan coin. I'll just tell you that. Buy Facebook coin. Do not buy the Yuan coin.
Josh, cryptotaxman.us And we'll have you back in a couple weeks. Anything you want to leave the audience with?
Don't wait till the last minute.
We won't. Of course not. We'll never do that.
We have the extension date coming up. Don't wait till the last minute.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Augie. Thank you, Andy. We'll be back next week with another Henry Rain Show.